Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Monday. It is the 26th of March. I hope you all had a lovely weekend. We were just here in the studio talking about what we were up to, and we think we all had a good weekend, so we hope you did too. Let us get to what we're getting to this morning, and we will introduce everybody. I hope you all have a hope you all had a great weekend, and we get started with what's happening in the world. Libby Post is with us. She is a political consultant and our dear friend. She is here on Mondays and Tuesdays. If you check your calendar, today is a Monday. That's why she's here. She joins us on other days, too, but...
whenever asked.
That's right.
And I'm in town.
Yes. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Always better when you're here. Thank you very much. And communications consultant Teresa Bourgeois joins us as well, and we're thrilled to have Teresa with us. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm just delighted to be here.
Very nice to have you with
us.
And Alan Chartok is here as well. He just bopped his head like he had a V8 moment. I don't know.
I know I'm not allowed to read letters until you tell me to, but I can tell you
you're allowed to do whatever you want.
But I can tell you this much. Julie wrote a letter. I don't understand all of it because I don't know all the characters, but she said, Stormy interview. So he compared her to his daughter, didn't wear a condom, and made her watch Shark Week. I think we owe Aziz Ansari a big apology.
Okay.
Who's Aziz Ansari?
Aziz Ansari is a comedian who was also brought up into the Me Too movement, but his particular story was questioned by some who said that it amounted to a bad date.
Mm-hmm.
So that there was really not harassment. It just didn't go. He asked her to do things. She said no and went, cried and left, and he apologized, and it sort of went. So I think that's what she's referring to.
I get it now.
Okay.
I could go further, but I won't.
All right. Thank God. Okay,
right.
So
I agree with that assessment.
Alan and I were talking, and we have a little confab in Alan's office prior to the show, and we were going, gee, I wonder what Rosemary Omeo is up to. We haven't talked to Rosemary in a long time. And I said, I know what I'll do. I'll just call Rose. I'll text Rosemary and see if she wants to be on the radio with us. I texted her. She said yes. And I believe the next voice you'll hear is Rosemary Omeo. How are you?
I'm fine, and I do miss you guys. I think it's been since December. I read all your mail and listen to you every once in a while, though, so I know what you're up to.
Well, it's a delight to have you on the program. Thank you very much. I know you can join us for an hour, and I will take every moment. So thank you very much for being with
us. Okay, cool.
Well, let us begin with the weekend and what happened. I think it's hard not to start with the marching that's been going on regarding the kids and what happened in Washington and New York and 800 municipalities across this great nation. I know, Alan, you were in New York. I know you two were in Albany. And Rosemary, I assume you were just rooting from afar.
Yes, indeed.
Well, New York was – I know you were in New York too, Joe. I was there as an impartial observer, of course.
Of course.
Marching next to my wife –
who was not impartial on this at all.
No, indeed.
Right.
And she had a big sign saying, and the children shall lead us, made a lot of fuss. People kept coming up to her and taking a picture and doing all of that. But I have to say, it was a pretty eclectic crowd, a lot of people there. The guy behind me looked like one of those labor guys, a labor guy. And I think he had a labor hat on. And he had just seen a guy with a NRA hat on. And he announced to the crowd around him, I told that guy, I said, you come in the park with me, we'll finish it all up right now.
You know, there were a number of NRA folks at this march. That the NRA nationally is not really representing the rank and file membership, and there are plenty of folks in the NRA, thankfully,
who agree
that assault weapons are not needed for hunting, and have no place in our society and on our streets. And so I thought that was refreshing. The march here in Albany, there were a few thousand people. We filled up West Capitol Park. Once again, this is the third time we've done something like this. There have been two women's marches and then this. And the kids were great and incredibly articulate. There was a woman who was an older woman of color who talked about being a survivor. of gun violence and domestic violence and how that both of those weave together. So your wife is right. The children shall lead us. This is a generational shift.
I like Paul McCartney saying a friend of mine died of gun violence. I thought that was very striking, his comment, the Beatle. And the other thing that was remarkable from afar was how bad the critics of those kids looked. And I include Rick Santorum and the NRA trying to say that these were kids manipulated by, you know, outside agitators, or that they just were enjoying their celebrity that came from the death of their friends. They just looked so little, because what those kids did was really brave. And really, I'm so in admiration of their organization and their stick-to-itness with this.
And you know, Rosemary, you are so right. I'm now making a list of the great quotes of the last several weeks, you know, that have Christine Quinn saying, you know, that Cynthia Nixon was an unqualified lesbian. That's going down in the history books.
It certainly is.
And then this Santorum thing saying, teach the kids how to do CPR. That's unbelievable.
CPR. Yeah.
Besides just being incredibly tone deaf, to just pick up on what Rosemary was saying, these kids have a policy agenda.
Yes,
I mean,
they have
5 points, and they're not outrageous, and it's a good starting place, and they're, as you said, they're very articulate, and they're getting out there, and I don't think they can do what they have been doing. I do wonder if they're ever going to be back in school. I do wonder that, but
you can't get an education like this.
I know.
Well, I know, and these kids were at Harvard last week, so, you know, I think their future is probably pretty bright, but good for them. But it's just amazing to watch. Now, the follow-up question is, will this lead to anything concrete in the future?
Well, I think it is really important, Joe, to review what their core demands are. Military-style weapons, all weapons of war should be banned from civilian society, 4-day waiting period on all gun purchases, require background checks on all gun sales, raise the legal purchasing age of all guns to 21. One of the things I thought was interesting...
Can I interrupt?
Yeah.
Universal background checks, right?
Because
one of the things which I found interesting that one of the kids was talking about is that, like, I can buy a gun and I have to have a background check, but if I buy a gun and then I hand it down to my kid, then that isn't covered. And the universal background check would say that once, like a car, once you turn it over to somebody else, they would have to then
have to come with a title.
Right, exactly. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Two things that I thought were, well, so much of it was impressive, but that they, the repeated reference to the importance of registering to vote and how aggressive they
Absolutely.
Are about registering
That's right.
people to vote and getting people to the polls. And the second thing is they talked about, the next thing is over the next 2 weeks, your members of Congress and senators are back in their districts. You can
they
have a town meeting.
They know what's going on. They know how it works.
Go to their congressional offices, and they all have district offices.
Teresa, I'm sorry for interrupting. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, John Faso on our air for an hour. I don't want to hear people saying, you ask them. No, you ask them. That's the telephone call, 1-800-348-2551, and you ask them.
Well, it's interesting. There are a group of students in Wisconsin. I think this originated out of Milwaukee, but they started in Madison after the march, and they are marching from Madison to Janesville, which is where Speaker Ryan is from, to go to his office.
And in real trouble.
Right,
yes,
so they're doing every day. And I thought it was interesting. Somebody tweeted out last night, a group of high school kids from Oregon sent them pizzas to their first overnight stop so that they would have dinner on their first overnight stop in this march. But they had studied the march from Selma, and they wanted to do something. And so I think that this they really have focused on keeping it up. And I just want to say, Naomi Wadler, if you didn't hear her, 11-year-old Naomi Wadler. Oh, my goodness. Google her. Listen to her talk. About and then
the critics, however, remain quite smug that this will not translate into votes. And even so recently as the Bernie Sanders campaign, where he had lots and lots of support when it came to rallies and buttons, did not translate into votes. So I still have my, I'm still worried about this.
Sure.
All the signs are there that they've studied and they're organizing, but it has to translate into votes.
Well, most of us have been in a classroom, Rosemary, and I have to say, me being the one who is longest in a classroom, I can tell you that I spent half my life trying to get kids to register to vote and to go out and to do it.
Right.
And you could look in their eyes and you knew you weren't going to get it. But now,
right.
I think,
right.
And remember that a blowout election in the United States, a runaway election, is regarded as winning by 5 percentage points.
That's right. It's
so
not like
so you don't
be.
Have to get every one of them, but right. if you get most of them or a lot of them, that's going to make a difference.
And these kids are voting for their lives, and it's a different ball game
right.
because they saw their friends die next to them, and they've seen too many school shootings. And so they really I think that the stuff that's coming out from people doubting the veracity is just another way of undermining the credibility of these kids, like the Rick Santorum, who really should have a card that says qualified idiot, remark about CPR, you know.
Well,
I mean, I think we're, as I said before, in the midst of a generational shift.
Well, remember that. To be fair to Rick Santorum.
Oh, how? Why bother?
To be fair to Rick Santorum, he is paid to be the conservative on the panel. So he reached a little too far and got himself into a lot of trouble.
Well, I think in terms of if people are worried, I think you saw it in the budget that just was passed and weirdly signed into law. The fact that they did make the change around allowing to do research and they did put money to clean up the NICS system. Now, those aren't big changes, but it does break the wall. You know, so I think that is evidence that their voices are being heard. One of the teachers, I thought, had a beautiful sign. It said, "Some people only dream of meeting their heroes. I teach mine."
Yeah.
And I thought that was just lovely. I think that these kids, I think they're in it.
You know, they're in it to win it.
We thought that before. We thought after Sandy Hook something would happen, and after Charleston something would happen. But this is a cumulative effect, and these kids have a lot of energy.
And this is a group of 16, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds from a multicultural high school in an area that, and at a high school that really values education and engagement.
The other thing, too, and I want to get to Rosemary of see how this is playing elsewhere, but my thought on it was, too, of how they're incorporating the kids from Chicago.
So important.
With gun violence in not just school shootings, but this is gun violence of kids who, talking to kids who get shot on their way to school in Chicago. And I thought that was interesting. Rosemary, what are you hearing? I mean,
more that, you know, they did it. Am I hearing? People here are watching what's going on
Rosemary?
In America from Stormy Daniels. And yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, but before you tell us about where the hell are you? Where I don't even know where you are.
Where in the world is Rosemary Armeo?
I'm in Amman, Jordan.
There you go. Okay.
And I was actually home like a week ago, briefly breezed through Albany to see family and my granddaughter, and then came back. So they are watching over here. Everything, it's spectacle. I mean, America's become like the biggest show on earth, thanks to our president, from Stormy Daniels and I forgot the other one's name, the Playboys, and Ann Karen, and children marching in the street, and it's amazing. I get questions all the time, as does any American who travels overseas now, saying, what's going on?
And you don't quite know how to answer that, I assume.
I don't know. It's like I had to get away. I didn't like it. And firing people and, oh, my goodness. And, yes, I'm going to veto. Yes, I'll pass the bill. I help negotiate now. No, I might veto it. It's just, it does not give you a strong sense of stability and knowing where you're going in the world. Bolton is probably the biggest news overseas.
Yeah.
Bolton hates Iran. So that's very destabilizing here in the Middle East. That's probably the biggest news out of the last 2 weeks.
Let us, I do want to touch on that. We'll do it when you come back and talk about Bolton. I just before we end on the talking about the marches that took place over the weekend and all of the people that were out on the streets. It does seem, though, that some question as to, you know, how this, but it seems like they, with the midterms coming, there are some Republican lawmakers who are scared.
Yeah, I think that that's absolutely fair to say. I think you see a large number of people stepping down over the weekend.
26, I think, are not going to run, something like that.
Two or three more over the weekend, yeah. So that they weren't going to run. I don't think that's just guns, but I think that, and I do think this issue of the NRA, Libby, I want to reinforce what you said, that you saw it in Albany, you saw it in the marches in Boston and New York and other places, how they were covered on TV. People with signs, I'm an NRA member, and you know I'm standing with the kids, that we can have mm-hmm. responsible gun reform. And I think that that is a key part of it. And what is the, which gun company declared bankruptcy?
Remington. Which is local.
Bankruptcy.
Was local.
Was local.
Yeah.
I know that they were in Oneida County.
Yeah, they moved.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We have Alan Chartok, we have Rosemary Arameo, Teresa Bourgeois, and Libby Post. We got you for another half hour, right, Rosemary?
Yes, you do.
Excellent. So stay tuned. We will be back. We love your letters. Panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. And we'd love to hear from you on these topics, and we'll continue with other topics as well. Panel at WAMC.org. We will be right back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to the panel discussion. We've got a great panel. Alan Chartok is here. Rosemary Arameo joining us from Jordan on the phone. Teresa Bourgeois is here in the studio, as is Libby Post, and we welcome you all. We have letters, and we'll get to those. Go to it, Alan, then we'll move on to other subjects.
What is the end game, says Michael? Confiscate these military-style weapons from Americans? Stop the sale for the future? Not sure how the implementation of those core issues is going to be actually implemented.
It's called changing Congress. That's how it's going to get implemented.
Thank you, Libby.
You're welcome.
CNN, says Martin. After learning what Santorum said, I wrote to CNN and complained for the first time ever. They spent so effort time trying to be fair to both sides, but it's a waste of time because the other side literally belittles kids fighting so their classmates don't get blown away. Think about that. CNN should be ashamed for giving this garbage airtime. Panel, I just wanted to inform your listeners that Representative Faso has a lifetime NRA rating of A+ or A++ in 98, and that his name is Alan Applaus. Alan in Applaus. Applause. Okay.
Applauding, yes, yes.
That's applause.
Yeah. Rosemary, did you want to check in on any of that?
No, I do. I did wonder the same thing. Why is Rick Santorum on? It's not what he says, but like, who is he that we should even be listening?
Well, he's a former senator.
Former senator. So, okay, you know, why are we still listening to him?
Well, as a producer of a radio program, I have to say, if Rick Santorum said he was available, I'd put him on this show too. I think it's a viewpoint.
You would.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're criticized all the time, Rosemary, for not having. Enough people, and I just want to say...
Yeah, you have to have the conservative right wing. Yeah, I get that. Okay.
And the president of the United States.
That you could have someone who actually had real power.
Well, yeah. I mean, yes. But
the NRA lays low doing these things, and so I think that's, you know, you didn't see NRA spokespeople out there doing these. You just don't. They just lay low and hope it'll pass over.
Mary Ellen says, inheriting guns. In New York, long guns can be inherited without the need for a pistol permit. However, any pistol must have a transfer of ownership, which would be done at a gun store. A background check is done, and the person inheriting the guns must have a valid pistol permit. It is possible that the law applying to long guns could be changed to reflect what currently applies to handguns, and that's from Mary Ellen. Always interesting.
All very right. Good information. Thank yeah. you.
Jude says, read the Second Amendment. Okay. So it says, Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, etc. Why does no one seem to refer to the fact that an individual gun owner isn't part of a militia? nor are they protecting a free state, or are they? Thankfully, Saturday on the walkway over the Hudson March was an indicator of the best of America, and with it, hope for out of the mouths of children, indeed. And that's from Jude. And good morning, panel, says Joseph.
Morning.
It seems that the high schoolers of America gave a plan for gun control. The kid who committed the murders at Florida School was a former student of that school. Do the kids have a solution to the young white men killer problem? 90% more of these mass killings are committed by young white men, many of whom were former students of the schools they attack. The Columbine crew were students of the school they attacked.
Go ahead, Rosemary.
Can I answer that one? Because that's an interesting one. That, you know, raise the age at which you can get guns, and that would take care of a good part of the problem. There are lots of young white men around the world, and yet the U.S. is the only one that has this problem. I just hate that we keep looking for one solution, a magic solution that'll solve mass shootings, when simple use of rules that most people agree on, even gun owners, has radically decreased the number of shootings everywhere else in the world. And that's another one. Yeah, it's white men doing it. But it is everywhere else, too.
But, you know, what's so fascinating about this is there is a dark meaning behind what Donald Trump is trying to put across, which a lot of us think is make America white again.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the narrative is that we have to control these people, not the white, you know, people who are committing these things, but the people who are either aliens or who are coming in from another place, who, frankly, are of color. And that is so dangerous.
I think this is a really complex puzzle. There are some obvious things you need to do in terms of controlling guns, but I do think you have to look at mental health issues, and you also have to. I thought it was very impressive, the people who not just did the walkouts, but they had the walk-up campaign, to walk up to a kid who you don't normally talk to, walk up to a kid who sits in this seat by himself at lunch. This whole anti-bullying, now that's not going to solve this problem, but I think the anti-bullying efforts are really an important part for this and in general, because often in these cases, these kids are isolated and bullied. Again, I'm not saying that that's the solution, but this is a very complex puzzle, mm-hmm. and that's a piece mm-hmm. of it.
It's interesting. I have to say, I'll be roundly condemned for this, but I love the ad that's on television, the anti-bullying ad where
yes.
the kid is sitting in the school bus. And
yes.
they always put it
yes.
at the bottom that it's a real scene.
Still, it's boys and girls, too. Girls are not isolated and bullied, and they're not shooting up schools. There's something else deeper than this. And we don't know because we don't study any of this stuff. We just have... We have political ads about pro-gun or anti-gun. We're so shallow on the whole issue.
Except that now the budget that passed, the federal budget, whatever they did, the extender.
The omnibus.
Right, the omnibus extender is allowing the CDC to finally research gun violence in the United
yes,
States.
Yes, I saw that.
And that, you know, will help. But I think that, you know, there's some very angry young white men out there and with access to guns, and
right.
they do this. But when you look at how the media portrays the angry white man, young man, and say they're mentally ill versus the person of color, the Muslim, the rare occurrence of those folks who do a mass shooting, and that really doesn't happen, but do a shooting, they're made out to be
terrible.
The most horrible people in the world, while the young white man, oh, he's mentally ill, you know, don't worry about it. It's just an aberrant thing, and that's not the case.
I want to go back to Rosemary. You made an interesting point about who are committing these crimes. Men exclusively, right?
I mean, white men, 94, 95% of the
time. What's your theory, Rosemary?
I don't have a theory. You know, I'd say something here, but I would just be pegged as a man hater. So I can't say that.
There was.
Well, I think you're. I'm sorry, but I think your earlier point, though, is what we don't know because it hasn't been studied, right?
Well.
Yeah, exactly.
Libby mouthed the words, I know, when Rosemary said, I don't know. Libby said, I know, so I can't wait to get back to Libby.
Oh, Libby.
What? They're angry white men.
Libby sent me a note saying,
go ahead, say it. Right. They're angry white men who feel like the world is no longer theirs. And you know, when you're raised, right?
They're losing control.
They're losing control. I mean, Trump got elected based on racism. It wasn't the economic issues. Yeah. It was his messaging around race and the fact that whites are no longer going to be in the majority in this country. That factors into this.
And that's what compels a 16-year-old to get an AR-15 and walk into a school?
Well, I think that factors into it. I think also, I mean, this kid...
How angry can you get at 15?
But this kid was part of some of the more right-wing survivalist groups out there who preach, you know... This sort of activity as the way to protect the white man.
Lib, I just want to add one thing to what you just said. And it's not only racism, it's sexism.
Well, yes.
I mean, after all, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about why men, why not women? And then we see Donald Trump and, you know, grab them by the you know what.
That's right. That's right.
Well, he certainly fomented this hate. You know, I can't stop thinking about the... Charlottesville. I was so struck last night. CNN did a hour-long special on the MLK and the civil rights movement, and you look at all that older footage of the 50s and 60s, and you think, oh my God, people behave like this. And then they layered in footage of Charlottesville last year, and it's just a reminder that it's still there. And
it is still there.
Guys marching, the Jews will not replace us.
That's right. Angry, blood and soil.
Blood and soil. Angry, anger, anger. Right. We have to understand what that anger and isolation and how that is being fomented.
I mean, they, you know, the amount of anti-Semitic violence has skyrocketed in the country. The amount of violence against people of color,
but you know,
has skyrocketed.
That might speak to what happened in, say, Las Vegas or whatever. But you know, this young man Cruz in Parkland, he was obviously deeply, deeply disturbed. That's why I find it just stunning that they want to use the death penalty against him. The system. I mean, clearly that person was deeply disturbed, and the system failed him for a long time. And the notion of using the death penalty against him, to me, is stunning. The other thing the kids talked about that I thought was important is this: they really condemn this Republican bill about fixing the schools as the, you know, checking the box of having done something. And they emphasize, you know, you can harden the schools, but what about the movie theaters and the churches and the music venues? And they hit that issue hard, which I thought was important. Right.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk.
Turning our schools into fortresses, and any place we go has to be a fortress. Any public gathering,
Not to use the word guns at all in that piece of legislation tells everything.
And they're right, and to act as if, oh, now we're really acting, we're taking on the real issue. No,
you're not.
Really
no,
you're
not.
The real issues are guns and better care for mental health issues.
Right. But the availability of guns.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk in our last 15 minutes with Rosemary. We'll talk about Stormy Daniels. I can't wait for that.
Oh, boy.
I assume you saw the interview, I assume, Rosemary?
I've seen pieces of it. I saw the entire one with Karen and as much as I could of Stormy.
All right. We'll talk about that and much more when we come back right after this break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, and Teresa Bourgeois. All right. Stormy Daniels says threats kept her quiet about alleged Trump affair until now. In the long ballyhooed interview with Anderson Cooper, it finally aired the last night on 60 Minutes after a... NCAA overtime pushed it for a little bit, but there we were waiting. Stormy Daniels, the adult film actress who alleges that she had an affair with Donald Trump in 2006, says that she was threatened for attempting to tell her story publicly and accepted money through a Trump attorney to remain silent because she was scared for her family. In a much-anticipated 60 Minutes interview, Daniels said she believed she was doing the right thing when she accepted $130,000 from a company linked to Trump attorney Michael Cohen to stay quiet. The hush agreement allowed her to protect her career and her family, she said, according to a transcript of the show, and she was concerned about her family safety after what she described as a scary episode in a Las Vegas parking lot in 2011, shortly after she first tried to sell her story to a tabloid magazine. Daniels said she was taking her infant daughter out of a car to go to a fitness class, and somebody approached her and said, "Leave the Trump story alone, forget the story."
And isn't your daughter cute? and we wouldn't want anything to happen to her mother.
So...
Okay, so here's my reactions.
Go.
Well, Anderson Cooper, as a gay man, was the wrong person to interview these women. There were details that he was not interested in that the rest of America might have been.
Such
for
as?
For example, our president does not believe in sex, safe sex, likes to have sex with women who remind him of his daughter, and enjoys being spanked by a magazine with his photos in it. Wow.
So do you, wait. If you were doing the interview, would you ask for more detail than that?
Is he good in bed? Does he brag about other women? I would have had, yes, I have a list of questions that should have been asked. There was nothing new. I would rather have seen an interview with Michael Cohen than with either of these women. Explain to me why Karen, the Playboy bunny, was even on TV. She's suing AMI, but she's already talking about it. So obviously she does have her story back. And Stormy is doing it plainly for the money. I actually am sympathetic to Trump, okay? You know, I really am sympathetic to him. She's cashing in on her notoriety, her name. She's now just Stormy. We all know that. She's making money off of that. And this threat, somebody on the street said, oh, your daughter, they're too bad if she misses her mother. Who was that? Who is she even alleging that it might have been? And supposedly there's evidence. We see a picture of the disc, but nothing. I don't see anything in here that's going to move the needles. I am as rabidly anti-Trump as they come, and I am not feeling any worse about it.
But wait, no. But wait. Let's assume for
Hey, Rosemary, we missed you. Go ahead.
Let's assume.
I know.
Let's assume for a minute that Mueller gets his conversation with the president. This is why the lawyers don't want the president talking to Mueller, because somewhere in that conversation, there is going to be this question as to whether or not this was an illegal campaign contribution.
That's going to be, you know, we got Al Capone on tax evasion. That's what it's going to be.
Well, you see, because I think it's a hard...
Well, none of this came out in the interview with these two
women. Oh, yes, it did. Oh, no.
Compare this with the interviews with Bill Clinton, which were conducted by women. We even know what his penis looks like.
Rosemary.
Those interviews were penetrating.
If you watch the 60 Minutes interview... you'll see that during the interview they cut to a guy who used to be the head of election ethics, the FEC under
George
Bush.
W. Bush.
Yeah, George. No, H.W.
H.W. Bush. You're right. I apologize.
During Dad's, and he talked about how this is a campaign finance issue and most likely illegal. So she couldn't talk about it, but he did.
I think that there are real issues in here, but talking to these women is not—it's not newsworthy and it's not scintillating.
Okay, I want to go back. I want to go back to my point, of course, which is if they get the president to sit down, and as a matter of course, in order to figure out why they were paying this person off, because Conan's already admitted that. And he says, I never slept with that woman. That's a lie.
Right.
And that, by the way, is how they got Bill Clinton
on
the lie. And the reason they got him on the lie is because it was the Republican Congress that was asking the question, not the other way around, right?
Yeah. I mean, this whole thing shows the duplicity of the Republicans in Congress. You know, if this was... Barack Obama, he would have been drawn and quartered already.
Can I just say something, though, to Rosemary's...
Well, I love listening to the evangelical saying, yes. Well, we're all about forgiveness, okay?
Right.
Forgive spanking, forgive daughter love.
Yeah, forgive everything except
daughter
what
love.
Needs to be given.
So, to your point, Rosemary, where I agree with you in the interview last night, was this very vague runaround on the fact that there... where she did not answer the question about if there were texts and pictures and whether all of that had been turned over.
Right.
And that just seems to be, that would have been the thing. Like, if you don't use that on 60 Minutes when you have your forum, when are you going to use it?
In court.
When are you going to use it? The lawyer now is saying, we're going to release it soon. Yeah. What are you waiting for? He's lost my interest. The most salacious thing out of all of this was the picture that went all around last week of Stormy having her lie detector test with the straps tied in the best way to show off her bust.
Speaking of which, I want to go back. I want to go. I want to go back to an earlier.
Oh my God, welcome
to an earlier
to Fox News.
Earlier question. Something that was raised here. They went into overtime on the basketball game.
Yes,
right?
Correct.
Sadly,
three quarters of America was waiting to see the interview.
Right, and yet,
go ahead.
The Globe and the Times and probably I think CNN broke the story. Is that what you were going to say?
No, I was going to wonder if America, remember the great Heidi incident?
Yes.
Where they didn't play the end of something and they didn't play the end of Heidi or whatever in order to, or the end of the ball game.
They started the ball game. They went to Heidi. Yeah.
Right. They went to Heidi. Okay, so what I've been rolling around in all night long is if they had not done that, if they had gone right to 60 Minutes at the time that everybody expected it to be on, what would the sense of moral outrage having curtailed the March Madness have been?
Oh, I think people would have been upset.
Oh, they would have been upset, especially because it was
and
a close game.
It was a really good
game. It was a really good
and
game.
And it went into overtime.
Right, it was an overtime. And if Duke had won, which they didn't, then people would have been really upset.
Yeah.
But any case.
And they did a great job holding the audience, I think. And the minute after the final shot went in, they went right into the interview.
Yeah.
So
No, but what I found interesting, which is what I thought you were going to say, is that
I wasn't.
It wasn't.
No, but at 7 o'clock, when it should have aired, the New York Times, CNN, New York Post.
Right. They all started sending out alerts saying, this is what Stormy said.
Here's the transcript.
And I'm like, how do they know? I mean, I know
because they had a transcript.
Know, but, how did they know?
It was embargoed.
Yeah, it was embargoed. So.
Rosemary, we only have you for a few more minutes, but John Bolton, a little bit about that issue.
I really dislike him from the days when he was in the UN, didn't believe in the UN, and now he's got the ear of the president. He's right in the next room. He'll be there all the time. He's an extremist and doesn't believe in diplomacy. He believes totally in military solutions as the best course for nearly any problem. And we have too many problems right now. I think this puts us at risk in the Middle East with Iran, in the Pacific with North Korea. He might even attack somebody in Latin America. He is a dangerous man. Who counters him? Who is the who's the cross check on him?
So is it Wag the Dog? In other words, is it Wag the Dog, Rosemary? In other words, is this guy really capable?
Can he get a security clearance?
Yeah.
Well, he did before.
He couldn't even get approved by the Senate for the UN position. Remember, Bush had to put him in a recess appointment.
Right.
And the Senate approves. The Senate's always approved anybody the Republican presidents have put up. Bork and Bolton are the only ones they didn't. So I don't know. It's terrifying.
And that's why he had to leave, because he couldn't get Senate approval. He was in there just for a short amount of time.
Right.
And we only have to wonder, and we'll get into this in our next half hour, but we only have to wonder sort of what the next changes are here with the administration, because, I mean, there's a lot of talk.
Well, I think it's going to be the VA guy, and I sort of agree with that. He is one of those cabinet members who have totally abused their travel and expense accounts, and he should go for that. But that would put Carson in the same boat, and they're keeping him, or the interior guy, Zirkle, is also guilty of this, and they're still staying. So I'm not sure. He's not removing people
for the moment. Reasons.
He's removing them because he's,
Even though he did have the problem, Sulkin, with the use of overseas travel, by all accounts, he's doing a good job of getting a handle on the VA. And the abuses that Pruitt at EPA or Zinke at Interior or Carson at HUD are far more extensive and costly than what he did. So it's a little confusing.
I don't think it's a matter of degree, though. I mean, it's either you abuse your expense account or you don't, and it doesn't matter by how many million. So no.
Well, then that would say that they
find somebody who can do all the good things needed. Sorry.
No, but the point is that if that's the threshold, then they should all go.
Oh, I'm in favor of that.
I was going to say, me too.
All right, Rosemary, I'll let you go.
I think you can find someone in charge of the VA who can do all that he has done without getting his wife to go on trips with him and paying for it. That's outrageous.
Rosemary, I know you have to go. I thank you very much for coming on this hour. When are you coming home?
Thank you for letting me be on. I love this. Okay.
And we love you.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Rosemary. We will be back with the rest of the crew here and more topics to discuss right after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our discussion this morning. Thanks real quick to Rosemary Armeo for joining us at the last minute. We appreciate having her with us for the time that we did. Alan Chartok is here, Teresa Bourgeois, and Libby Post. And we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. Are we caught up in the letters there, Alan? Or do you
No, by no means.
All right. Let's get caught up then.
All right. Brian writes us, deeply offended by the comments that say Trump was elected because of racism. Pardon me. I'm an educated person of faith, and I voted for Trump simply because abortion is killing more defenseless human beings than guns, and that's from Brian. And R. Jeremy says he's worried. I'm very worried about how all this plays out because of the discussion is so removed from the facts of school shootings. When the shooting is inside a school, it is almost always by a person under age of 18 who usually brought a gun from home to shoot someone he knows. Since these kids are too young to buy a gun, background checks are irrelevant. To prevent a school massacre, AR-15 will have to be banned. Tim says, Libby is right. All of these shooters are narcissists and feel like the world has turned away from them. And how dare it? They've been told their whole lives that everything will come easy, and they end up working in some warehouse, left with resentment toward others who still have potential. Thanks for the conversation, says Tim. And Jonathan says, Remington Arms is alive and well in Herkimer County, Ilion, New York. Yeah. Approximately 1,200 workers still making rifles, shotguns, and some items from the military. I'm sorry.
I had
read in the paper that they moved to someplace like North Carolina or South Carolina.
No, they're still out there.
Okay.
They're still one of the bigger employers.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. I'm sorry to have gotten that wrong, if I did get it wrong. And then also, Judith says, referendum on guns. Would it work to add referendums on gun reform to the ballot across the nation? The main issue is keeping this top of mind. Also concerned about areas of the country that do all they can to disenfranchise the poor and people of color by requiring IDs to vote. So we also need to help everyone get photo IDs that are acceptable at voting places. And thank you, says Judith. And that's what I got, Joe.
All right. President Trump has decided not to hire two lawyers who were announced last week as new additions to his legal team, leaving him with a shrinking stable of lawyers as the investigation by the special counsel Robert Mueller enters an intense phase. The president is disappointed the conflicts prevent the two from joining the president's special counsel legal team, Mr. Trump's personal lawyer, Jay Sekulow, said in a statement on Sunday morning. However, these conflicts do not prevent them from assisting the president in other legal matters. The president looks forward to working with them. The upheaval on the legal team comes at a critical time for Mr. Trump. The president's lead lawyer, John Dowd, quit the team on Thursday, just as Mr. Trump is deciding whether to sit with Mr. Mueller for an interview. At the moment, Mr. Sekulow is the president's chief outside lawyer, as Mr. Trump's longtime New York lawyer, Mark Kasowitz, remains on the periphery. Mr. Trump's lawyers, including Mr. Dowd, has told the president that the investigation would be over by this point. It seems to be accelerating, as Mr. Mueller appears to be looking into the wide range of matters related to Trump's corporate activities, his 2016 campaign, his associates, and his time in office. All right. So a lot of tweet activity by the president that sort of only muddied the waters, right, Teresa?
Yes. Well, he was tweeting on this, silent on a lot of the march and other things going on over the weekend. And I know there's a lot of focus of attention on him not getting lawyers. But I think the bigger question with Donald Trump is, Let's see, the lawyers that he hasn't nominated for the Justice Department. You know, there's still no head of the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration. There's still no head of the U.S. Marshals Service. There's still no director of the Office of Violence Against Women. So, yes, he needs lawyers. Some of these lawyers are going to be on our dime. Yes, he's having a really hard time apparently getting the lawyers, even though he tweets out and says, all the lawyers want to work for me. But he's having a hard time getting them. And I think that we, you know, the bigger concern for the American people is all the justice jobs that he's not filling across the administration.
Well, you know, Teresa, Donald Trump has been called, maybe unfairly, maybe not, the liar in chief. Mm-hmm. He just changes all the time. So when Tillerson leaves as Secretary of State, right, he has nice things to say about Tillerson, right? Then ever since then, he's been piling on and saying terrible things about Tillerson in tweets and other places and reported conversations with others. So again, nothing can be believed.
And what's interesting is going back to Stormy Daniels, and this is something that her lawyer said, Avenatti said, that he hasn't tweeted one thing about her.
Right.
Nothing. Which leaves one to think that he knows he shouldn't.
Right. But also, he tweeted this morning, the quote, "The economy is looking really good. It's been many years that we have seen these kinds of numbers. The underlying strength of companies has perhaps never been better." This is after a week in which the markets, and I know the markets are not the economy, but we've had the worst markets in 17 years. These trade issues, he is really... had to backtrack on his trade. I was wondering, what do you think the people, I was thinking about the people who stood around him when he signed the tariffs on aluminum and steel. And then he quietly, out of the limelight, signed another executive order last week, essentially rescinding 98% of that. I wonder what those folks who stood around him at that White House signing, how they feel about him.
I mean, the rug pulled out from under them.
Right, right.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think he got into so much trouble with China that they felt they had to pull back a little bit on the aluminum and the steel.
Canada, yeah. Mexico, Australia.
No, everybody.
Right, everybody.
Yeah, basically everybody, because they knew they're in a lot of trouble. Now, this morning, and this gets dangerous, I just checked the Dow. I think it's up 421 this morning already.
First hour, right.
The futures were way up. And that's because China basically said they negotiated with the Chinese over the weekend, and China has not engaged in the war. You know, they basically said, okay, we're not going to put tariffs on soybeans, which would have been a big thing for American farmers, and a whole host of other things where they're dampening down
edamame.
Things. Exactly.
Right.
Well, they're dampening. I think the Chinese were, just like they are intervening in North Korea, I think that they're trying to not respond in a way that would up the ante and create a trade war.
Well,
I'm no expert on this. I just know what I read.
But as you know, they know when they got it good. And they have it pretty good right now. On the other hand,
because the markets made him back off.
Yeah, and there was some talk by the Chinese of having to go tit for tat on what the president was doing. But over the weekend, apparently there was some collective decision making.
Right, talks and some concessions. Now, again, I am no expert on trade. But I do think that we do need to deal with the trade deficits with China and the intellectual property issues. And it would be helpful if we had some serious negotiators who could deal with this theft of intellectual property.
Yeah, like John Bolton.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's happening in this case.
No.
But the other thing, back to the original question, Joe, about the whole Trump lawyer Mueller stuff. The other thing is, when he does tweet out, he talks, you know, no collusion, and the only collusion is crooked Hillary and the Dems. And if you watch Fox News, again, it's just so astounding. It's whole two different worlds. The marches barely happened if you watch Fox News, and all of the issues with Russia are all about Hillary Clinton and the Democrats, nothing about Trump. It's astounding.
The story that is breaking as we are on the air this morning is that Trump expels 60 Russians over the attack on an ex-spy in the UK. The expulsion order made in response to the poisoning of a former Russian spy in Britain included 12 people identified as intelligence officers stationed at the United Nations. The Russian consulate in Seattle also must close. This is joining allies in this expulsion over this poison attack in Britain. Poland, Italy, Denmark, France, and Germany were among 14 European Union member nations announcing plans to expel Russians from their countries in solidarity with Britain, which previously expelled 23 Russian diplomats after the poisoning. Canada also said it would expel 4. The American expulsion order announced by administration officials includes 12 people identified as Russian intelligence officers who have been stationed at the UN in New York, and also closes the Russian consulate in Seattle. The Russians and their families have 7 days to leave the United States, according to the officials. The expulsions are the toughest action taken against the Kremlin by President Trump, who has been criticized for not being firm enough with President Vladimir Putin of Russia.
This is so interesting. I mean, let's face it. There's a big problem with the president because a lot of people think that one way or the other, he was close to the Russians, that they paid him off one way or the other, and they have stuff on him. And he knows it. I mean, these people know how to poll. The White House knows how to poll. They know what people are thinking. This is a very dangerous one for him. So then that leads to the question, does he have to clear with Putin what he's going to do? In other words, if you're going to kick 60 people out of the United States and you're worried about his getting on you and giving out information about your dealings with them in the beginning, does he have to say, I have to do this? You have to understand, Vladimir, I have to do this one way or the other, because I don't think he wants to tick off Vladimir Putin.
Mm-mm. I agree with you. They've got something on him.
Well, but I also think you had a lot of new news last week about Cambridge Analytica, which has a potential Lukoil Russia connection.
Sure.
You have the Congress mandating, you know, passing legislation saying that the Trump administration needed to impose sanctions. And so I think this is in reaction to a range of things. That they can't. The Europeans are just shaking their heads, wondering what's going on with Trump and Russia, and also with Bolton. I think the Bolton news didn't go over very well, both in the United States and around the world. And I think that this might be a reaction to all of that, and perhaps the Mattis got his way.
Joe, we had a letter from Franklin who says,
yes.
Planned Parenthood and Public Radio. I have yet to hear any of you praise the portions of the new budget bill in regards to Planned Parenthood and public radio TV. It's very easy to be critical of POTUS, but isn't it fair to mention the good? Well, first of all, the Congress said, we're going to save this guy from himself.
Really?
We're going to save ourselves.
Yeah. And number one. And number two, I certainly did mention it, I think, on the last program.
And also, Paul Ryan has been gunning for the Institute of Museum and Library Services forever, and they got a big bump up as well. So museums and libraries got a big bump up, which is very, very important.
Right. And remember that in the weird signing, I'm not signing mm-hmm. thing that occurred, Donald Trump tweeted out that he would never sign a bill like this again. He made it clear that he did not support most of what was in this bill. And to the extent that he has been tweeting, he's been tweeting about how bad the stuff is in this bill. So I think that the fact that this bill passed with bipartisan support reflects the reaction of the Republicans to the various elections that we've had around the country and how well the Democrats have been mm-hmm. doing.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that this is their reaction to what's happening and how they feel they have to position themselves for the fall elections.
Regular writer Stacy checks in with a letter about Remington. Hi, panel. I'm commenting on the letter that stated Remington is alive and well. They just filed bankruptcy to the tune of $900+ million because they cannot pay their debtors. So alive, but not well. Remember, it was Remington gun that was used at Sandy Hook. And that's from Stacy. Stacy, I think this is getting a little convoluted. The last letter was literally about, are they still in upstate New York or not? I had said they moved to North Carolina, South Carolina. I think they did, but they may still have people up there in this other place. And we did mention the bankruptcy. So, you know, the problem is that not everybody listens to every moment of the show. Know what I mean? Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. I didn't know if you wanted to do anything else there.
No, I'm always ready.
All right. Let's go to the other story. I think we hit everything that I wanted to hit on our list, but I do want to talk about overall where we are right now as far as with this budget. What's the main item that Congress and Senate working on now? What's the next big thing?
Well, in theory, they need to do an infrastructure package plan. You know, there's some money for some infrastructure projects, but there's not an overall infrastructure agenda. Whether or not they want to raise the DACA issue or not, or just allow the, you know, right now I think the Democrats' view is the DACA recipients are better off just under the court-administered process. And then for me, you know, healthcare, they really left healthcare and the network and I don't want to say it's in shambles, but it certainly is in tatters. And so there needs to be some decisions on what direction we're going to go in healthcare.
Well, I think they want to kill it, so they're not going to do anything. That's what I think. I think just leave it alone. They think it'll go away and they'll kill it. You say there has to be. I don't think there has to be. I think not in their world.
Well, or will it be a, you know, is this going to be an issue in the elections in November? Certainly,
what do you think?
Certainly guns will. I think if people raise their voices again, I think that when the Republicans were trying to kill the bill in a comprehensive way, that rallied people against it. And so now they're trying to kill it with 1,000 individual cuts, which is harder to bring focus to.
I think it will be an issue in November, though, because we're already seeing it here. The 19th congressional district, one of the candidates has ads running, Antonio Delgado, and it's all about healthcare.
Yep, he has great ads, by the way.
Yes, all about healthcare.
Yeah. Interesting, I learned over the weekend that I saw a press release that John Bolton's PAC, they endorsed Congressman Faso back in November of 2017 and gave him $10,000. So that's interesting to me. It'll be interesting to see when these members of Congress are home over the next 2 weeks, if they hear from their constituencies. Speaking of healthcare again, Congressman Faso, remember he told the woman with the brain tumor that he promised her that he would protect people with pre-existing conditions. And so far, the Republicans are doing just the opposite. Also, I saw Lee Stefanik sent a letter inviting President Trump to come to her district.
Oh, God, that'll be fun.
But I think from a practical politics point of view, I'm not endorsing it, but from a practical politics, what has she got to lose? I mean, everybody knows where she stands vis-a-vis Trump, and she wants to excite her base and, you know, come out and vote for me.
Invited him to go to Fort Drum.
We are out of time. My thanks to everyone who joined us this morning. Thank you for your letters. And we welcome all of them, panel@wamc.org. Libby, Teresa, Alan, thank you all.
Thank you, Joe.
For listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.